It's time to revisit virtual desktops. That topic on today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Welcome to another episode of the MSP Zone. Today, we are talking about virtual desktops. We're talking about desktop as a service. We're talking about, for those of you who've been around the sun a few times, thin client computing. There's a lot of different terms that this concept has been called, but we're going to be talking about all of them today. And we're going to be talking about how they apply to the managed services profession, and how you as MSPs may want to revisit this topic, because it's not a new topic. It's been around for quite a while, but it is certainly gaining steam. It's certainly seeing a lot of very valuable use case scenarios out there in the market today. And that's what we like to do, is bring you useful, relevant topics and problem solutions, or solutions to problems as practicing MSPs. And so I am not going to be doing this all by myself. I'm going to have some considerable help from our guest today. So at this point, I'd like to introduce Mr. Dennis Kolar from Parallels. Dennis, welcome to the MSP Zone.
Thank you, Charles. Good to be here.
So, yeah, I guess maybe the first question is, for those of our listeners out there who may not be familiar with Parallels, could you just give us a quick summary of what you guys do out there in the tech space as well as the MSP space?
Yeah, so many people will know Parallels. They'll say, I've heard of that before. We've been in this business, the virtualization business, for the better part of over 22 years now. We started with a little product that enabled a user to run a virtual instance of Windows on a Mac. So that was our Parallels desktop product. And we've evolved that into a complete set of virtualization tools and solutions that enable folks to work from anywhere on any device with another product called Remote Application Server. So we're very much entrenched in the virtualization space and providing solutions either at an individual level or at an enterprise level at scale.
And did you come at this as a company? Did you come at it more from the consumer residential side, or have you always been at the commercial enterprise level?
Good question. So we started more on the individual or the consumer side. That rapidly moved into the educational space in terms of licensing Macs and running Windows products on a Mac. And then that led into marketing organizations as well. So we started on the commercial side, the consumer side, moved into the commercial side. And then with the advent of the acquisition of Remote Application Server, which we acquired about 7 years ago, we've moved into the enterprise space.
So I remember talking to an MSP, I don't know if I should say where he was. He was on the East Coast, let's put it that way. And he was a small shop. I mean, you know, less than 10 employees. And this is probably in the 2003, 2004 timeframe. And I remember distinctly his business model, and I have to find out if he was using Parallels at the time to do this. But you know, he ran a thin client managed services shop, right? So he had all his customers were on a centralized server, and he would deploy an image out to their desktop or their laptops and manage it from a central standpoint. The point of that story is that this concept of what you guys do at Parallels has so many different names, right? I mentioned it in the beginning of the intro: virtual desktops, desktop as a service, remote desktop, thin client computing. Are these all the same? I guess that's my first question to you, is do you think that they're the same, or are there differences?
Well, I think as you pointed out, as the technology has been around for a long time, so it's very staid, right? And if you think about the progression of remote access when it first started with a fat clients, right, and then it moved into thin clients, and then it moved into VDI, which VDI has been on the horizon for the last 30 years that I can remember, in some form or fashion. So, and then now we're publishing applications and we're doing things in hosted hybrid data centers. So we look at that as kind of an evolution of the technology, and it all kind of rolls up into itself. So from our standpoint, it's yes to all of the above. If you're an ISV and you've got an old Windows application that's a thick client, we have a solution for that. If you're somebody who has a hybrid solution built on Azure and a private data center, we have a solution that plugs into that as well. So we've tried to stay as anchored to those old enterprises that can't move quickly or kill an old application because of its niche within the organization, to evolving into the latest technology and being nimble across platforms.
To be clear, Dennis, would you argue for a delineation between virtualized desktop experiences and ASP or application services? Are those close cousins, or should we keep those separate for the time being?
Well, for us, they're close cousins. The way that we approach the product evolution and the product capabilities is through a single solution set, or a single console and a single license. So when you're working with Parallels from that perspective, we give you an a la carte menu. You pick and choose which technology you want to use, or technologies you want to use, and we provide that to you in a simple solution, and a context of delivering it on a single license.
Got it.
So from a cost perspective, from a management perspective, from a training perspective, you're looking at a single platform to do published applications, published desktops, or full blown, virtual desktop integration. And we don't delineate the license for any of those. They're all the same license, and we don't care what platform or how you're deploying it. So whether you're deploying it onto the client, or whether you're deploying it into your own data center or your hosted data center, or on Azure, Google, AWS, doesn't matter to us. It's a single platform, a single license, and you pick and choose how you want to deliver your services to your customer.
Okay. Perfect. So that's really helpful. And what I'd like to do is get your feedback and input on a handful of different use case scenarios that, as I said at the beginning, this is not a new concept. It's not new technology, right? It's been around. MSPs certainly have heard of it. But, that old adage, the old becomes new again, I think is true here, because I hope we're leaving this pandemic. I didn't hear a lot about virtualized desktop at the beginning. We were talking about remote work, yes. We were talking about security for the remote workers, yes. But we weren't articulating, or at least I didn't hear, a lot of discussion around virtualized desktop experiences. And that's where I'd really like to start, is
sure.
The BYOD, bring your own device issue, is big. It's a security concern. A legitimate one for end user organizations and MSPs alike. How would you answer the question of whether or not, virtual desktops addresses BYOD security?
Well, I would say yes, it does, and it does it quite nicely. So from that standpoint, because again, you manage and control the desktop within your own environment. And again, what we're seeing is with the current VDI type of technologies or virtualization technologies, that's a kind of becoming an access strategy. How do I get to my work, wherever my work is? Then the other side of that is organizations have, you know, security, right? Or MSPs are selling security solutions that wrap around that. So they do defend it. So from our perspective, what we see is, as a security for BYOD, how do we make that as simple and as locked down to access the corporate environment or the work environment as simple as possible? And to do so, you know, we're using, again, to your point, STAID technologies, STAID protocols in the security space that lock everything down. So the transmissions are secure. The authentication is secure. You can do two-factor or multi-factor authentication. You can do SAML, whatever version of SAML you have in place, or you can just do simple SSL security. So again, we take that a la carte approach to simplifying it, as well as to giving you access to the solution based on the needs of the user.
So if MSPs now are struggling legitimately to deal with the rapidly devolving corporate perimeter network, right? Now with so many companies, even post-pandemic, saying they're going to have some sort of remote work policy, right? And employees are going to, for some, you know, period of time in the, you know, forever for a lot of them that I'm hearing, it's going to be a fact of life, right? They may come into the office, they may work from home, and it's probably going to be a mixture. Is it appropriate to put that much responsibility on, you know, virtual desktops to say, look, it really is one of the best ways to secure and control that corporate data in a otherwise uncontrollable work from home environment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I would say yes. But here's one thing we've learned throughout the last year and a half or so. It's just like the acronym VDI, right? So what is VDI? And so what is a virtual desktop? Well, when we get into the conversations and start stepping through the process with our service providers, our ISVs and enterprise customers, what we're quickly learning is that what their concept of virtual desktops are and what their users need are not in alignment or not. They're not working from the same definition. What I mean by that is we engage with a partner around VDI more often than not. 80% of the time, it's about published applications. So, you know, again, I don't need a big blown up virtual infrastructure that's on demand that scales up for everybody. I have a class of users in my enterprise that have really need to access four applications. Some of those, two of those could be a legacy application, and the other two could be, you know, Office 365 and our HR app.
But not the core OS is what you're saying.
Correct. And so, but then there's also those that have a need for full-blown, what we call virtual desktop integration, meaning I have dedicated virtual machines that are set up that are either in a present mode or a persistent mode for a particular user, so that when that user logs in, they have access to the dedicated hardware and all the necessary surround and resources that go along with that set of applications. So think finance, right? Or healthcare, like imaging. These very powerful applications that are driven by a lot of data or a lot of visual content. or video type content, or very large graphical processing content. So what we rapidly get to, and this is why when we approach this philosophically, we looked at the thing and saying, look, everybody's trying to do the same thing. They define it pretty much the same way, but when in actuality, most people need access to apps and very few people need access to dedicated resources. So VDI in itself was always very expensive, very complex, and very mystical. And therefore, I don't think it really got adopted, when what we're finding is 80% of the people need access to applications. So if we can wrap all of that around what the real need is and provide a solution for all of the ancillary, we think we've got a really good solution. And then to do so, again, with security that's stayed, that's known, that's vetted, that's approved, right, for whatever your compliance issues, whether it's healthcare or financial, and you put it all into an easy to use solution set that's easy to manage, scale, and deploy, to train, it becomes very cost effective.
So you're making the distinction between two different technological service approaches, one being everything, the OS and applications, all of it, which is challenging, it's cumbersome, I get that, but versus the other one, which it seems like you're preferring that approach, which is, look, just pick the applications that you need, and we'll secure that, we'll make those available, we'll protect that application and the data inside it. That's where you see the future.
Well, to be clear, we're following the market. So when we survey the customer with the partner, and we talk through what they're really trying to accomplish, the net of it is most of the time it's an application or applications.
Interesting.
Everybody leads with a conversation around VDI, right? Which has been associated with remote desktops, right? And virtualization. Well, that might have been true in the late 80s and early 90s, but this is the way that computing and access to information has evolved. Most people need access to the applications so they can do their work. And what that platform looks like that they're sitting on to access that information, or where that information resides and how it's deployed in a multitude of different environments, doesn't matter to us. And it shouldn't matter to anybody, because again, what we're seeing is applications matter. The hardware, or that vertical nature of having a dedicated machine somewhere sitting that's on demand for me and only me, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. So bringing it back to the use cases that we've learned from the pandemic. So bring your own device, right? A lot of MSPs, I don't want to say struggled, a lot of MSPs did a valiant amount of work in the early days and weeks of the pandemic in getting so many of the world's businesses equipped to work from home. And I heard so many stories about, wow, one of the biggest challenges was just the logistics challenge of getting company devices provision set up and deployed to those workers who previously never needed a work from home laptop, right? They had a desktop at the office. So your belief is that virtual desktops does get us to the point where the BYOD and the security issues of the work or non-work device accessing company data and applications from a non-office, non-work location does fit nicely with the virtual desktop story. True.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
So by extension, then we should also be seeing some similar benefits on the issue of business continuity. So I would be talking about not just data backup and preservation, but also we all know ransomware has been on the rise since the pandemic. I would imagine that would also have a significant role to play, for the virtual desktop world.
Yes, I would agree. And for us, again, we think of it more about how do you lock down or secure the access, right? So the device, and again, people prefer, they have their preferred devices. When the pandemic hit, as an example, people were, to your point, were scrambling, right? So do my corporate assets allow us to, at scale, for this particular work group to have the access that they need. And in many instances, it was no. Mm-hmm. And where we spend a lot of time with and where we've honed our product is around, well, if you need to scale from 0 to 1,000, you can do so very quickly. And again, when we start talking through that, what that looks like and the security needs, we try to plug in to as many of the components that they already have. So the look and the feel, again, to the end user is very transparent. So you don't see a lot of differences. They might see a difference in a client or the way that they have to log in. And then, so there's a small variability or none at all. And then for the enterprise, for the company, it's well knowing that the way that those people are accessing is within prescribed and vetted security processes that we have in place, or if they're not, that they can fold into security requirements that we have, whether that's for, you know, our ransomware issues or concerns, or our compliance issues and concerns, or for data integrity concerns. So what we're seeing right now is when we're competing in the market space, you can have one that has you very focused in on a particular set or suite of services that you can acquire. And then if you need other services, then you can acquire another license to do so. Where we're saying is, as we've seen virtualization and working remotely, whether it's on a company device or BYOD, the issues are the same, right? It's how do you make that ubiquitous access so that the user has a simple way and it's non-disruptive, so it looks and feels very simple, right, to them, but it's compliant with everything else that you have to manage and maintain in securing your data for the enterprise. And how do you do that eloquently? Because again, right, and simply.
No, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, I want to get into some of you know, your experiences with MSPs who are partners of Parallels in a moment. But circling back on just this post, I call it post-pandemic, right? As we're leaving the pandemic and going into the next stage of whatever life is going to give us, is it the posture and should MSPs and their clients be looking at a new world of, look, everyone is going to be transiting back and forth between home and office, and that's just a fact of life for the foreseeable future. And doesn't it look better and easier for you as a customer, and dare I say it, as an MSP managing that, to envision maybe a different perspective of, you know, previously we had to deploy only work devices, only work phones, only work laptops, and we had to set them up and configure them and, you know, get them all prepped, versus now I'm imagining virtual desktop deployment is incredibly different. And is it easier? All right, that's my first question. Is it better for the MSP and the customer?
Well, for us, it is easier. It's easier because we spent an inordinate amount of time making it simple. Again, technologies are stayed. So they don't have to be a lot complex. If you want to go real deep, we have the tools and the capabilities to provide you all that level of detail. But if you need a group to be able to rapidly deploy something within a checkbox of parameters, right, your security profiles, your access profiles, your user profiles, and deploy it very quickly at scale, we have a solution for you. So our approach is, this whole concept has been of virtual desktops has been, my words, mystical, right? And it's been very expensive when people try to deploy it, and it's kludgy.
Yeah.
How do you simplify all that down when what people, again, and what do people and organizations really need to be productive? And you're right. As we move through this, now enterprises are looking at it going, well, do we need to buy devices for people? Or can we deploy a secure client on their iPad or their Android phone? or their Chromebook, right? Because that work's going to get done. And people want to work now in a hybrid situation. They want to live where they play, and they want to play where they work, so, or work where they play. So they want that flexibility, and employers are more apt to give that to them, is the other thing that we're seeing. But we don't see a lot of solutions out there that that'll enable a service provider to make that as simple as possible for the enterprise to provide to their employees and check all of their compliance and security concerns.
I think that, that's a really important point you just made, because assuming all these things we've been talking about from the new remote worker are real and they are happening and will continue to happen, I think the security issue is a question of how does the customer and the MSP supporting that customer implement effective security and business continuity with a user who is not necessarily always going to be, you know, capable of coming into the office, into the secure network perimeter, and leaving that secure network perimeter to a home environment that, shall we say, is anyone's guess, right? As to whether it's secure or not. This just seems to give a lot of certainty to the customer and the MSP. And so my question is, the types of, I know you mentioned you guys work with both you know, end users at the enterprise level, I'm presuming, and also MSPs. Can you give me a little sense of the type of MSPs that are currently working with Parallels? Like, are they mid-market, are they enterprise, or do you have SMB, or is it a mixture of everyone?
Yeah, it is truly a mixture of everybody. So as we discussed very early on, the heritage, right, of us, we started on that consumer side and went to small business, and we've kind of moved up stack into the enterprise space. So suffice it to say, we have service providers who are serving upwards of 50,000 users a month, to those that are serving, you know, 50. So it's a broad range. We welcome all of those service providers, because we built, again, the model. We've done our homework. We've researched the market, and we've made it for our service providers a wholesale model that is very much pay as you go. And that's another thing. I mean, for service providers to provide a very valuable service to their customers that's very easy to deploy, manage, and very cost effective, that is a pay-as-you-go model, we're not seeing that today. We're seeing quite the opposite, right? We're seeing more and more of managed services that are being provided by us, the software industry, are going to more of a prepay model. So again, we're not trying to buck the trends, but we are trying to provide the highest value to our partners, because again, we see tremendous growth in an opportunity post-pandemic for our service providers and for us in particular.
You know, it's something occurred to me as you were answering that question, and you guys may have this as a study. I don't know if it exists, but it occurred to me that as companies are you know, dealing with deploying and onboarding new users in new remote, shall we call it hybrid remote scenarios, that the cost savings just of going the virtual desktop route compared to, let's say, procuring an actual device, right? Buying it, leasing it, renting it, whatever, getting it, prepping it, deploying it. There's got to be some significant time and money savings for the virtual desktop route. Are you aware of any studies that have been done on that, or have you guys done any data collection on that point?
I'm not aware of studies, but I can tell you anecdotally what we've gone through. So we deploy, you know, a MacBook Pro for everybody. And we put an instance of Windows on it, and we, you know, put an instance of Parallels desktop on it, and we run most of our applications are through Windows. There's a few Mac instances. So just think of the cost of that, right? Now, fast forward, pandemic-wise, the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, When things locked down back in March of last year, I was just coming off a ski trip and I didn't have my workbook. It was in the office, which was, 20 miles away, and I needed access to it. I didn't worry about it because I could use my Windows PC from home and had access to everything that I needed, inclusive of the personal data or the data that resided on my local hard drive within my work machine. So, but when you think about that, we think about it now in terms of, well, why do we need to deploy devices to individuals? Because some individuals want to work on a Chromebook, or that's what they have. Some people are remote. They want to work on a tablet because that's what they have, right? So take the work where the person is. And this is a big value I think we've all learned. If you're an employer, right, the closer people are to their work, the more they work and the more they get done. And I'm not saying it's not about work-life balance, but I'll tell you right now, working from my home office, I'm more productive and I work longer hours because I'm not commuting, right? And all the things that go along with that. So there are those costs, if you will, and you can structure it as costs or benefits to a business. But I think the other thing that we're learning with our enterprise customers and our partners is that work from anywhere is a good thing for the business. It can be a good thing for the employee, and that's a whole work balance issue, which is a whole other topic of conversation. But we're finding that there's tremendous happier employees because they can work wherever they need to work, whenever they need to work. And I think where we're transitioning to from a workforce is about getting the work done. It doesn't matter where you're at. And for us, as another example, I don't know that we'll ever go back to an office. We may have an office space that we can go and collaborate in one day or 2 days a week. But for the most part, we can work wherever we want, whenever we want, so long as we get the work and the projects done.
Yeah. And I think this is where, the customer and maybe some cases the MSP more, can we do all that and make sure that it's secure, knowing that there are some limitations of what the end user is going to do with, especially with their own device that they're bringing into the corporate network. So, yeah, I it makes sense.
I would take that one step further to say, can we not only make it secure, but can we fit it into what already exists for a customer, for an enterprise? Can a partner do that? And can they do that without disrupting a lot of work under a staid set of protocols, vetted, security solution with a minimal amount of disruption to the business and to the users? Because those are key things. Again, we talk about investments in time and money. And anytime you change workflow, or anytime you change security, right, or vetting security products, it becomes very challenging. Or how does that integrate into the 16 other things that we already have implemented within the network? Are there cascading effects, right? Are there ripple effects throughout the network when we make changes?
Right.
And we can say, again, when we look at it philosophically and from a design element, we look to work with what's already in place and has been working well and is well designed and engineered into the future without disrupting, what's already in place.
A very pragmatic approach, no doubt, and checks a lot of boxes that MSPs, have been dealing with, in terms of compliance on the part of their customers for many, many years. If an MSP is out there and saying, wow, this is really interesting, I'd like to take a look at virtual desktop deployment and maybe see what that would look like in my managed services practice. Dennis, what's the best way that that these MSPs can reach you guys?
Yeah, certainly parallels.com. And or you can reach out to my team, and we're very simply, it's Parallels Service Provider, so PSP, is the alias, psp@parallels.com.
Easy enough. Yeah. Dennis, Kolar, thank you very much for joining us on the MSP Zone and kind of breaking down, you know, what otherwise could be a, you know, a complex topic. And it's not really complex when listening to you talk about it, because it, you know, I think unnecessarily it had been made too difficult over the past decade or so, because there's so many competing terms. But you know, having you break it down for us was very helpful. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the time, Charles.
Well, that's another episode of MSP Zone. Thanks to our special guest, Dennis Kolar of Parallels. Definitely give them a look if you're interested in virtual desktops. You know, I'm sure they'd be happy to talk to you and have a discussion. Until next time, this is Charles Weaver with the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.